Hello and welcome to Social Media Weekly, episode 7th July 2021. Social Media Weekly is brought to you by Virtual Palace Marketing, rehumanizing your marketing experience. My name is Sean.
And I'm Jay.
Yes, Jay is back.
I am back.
How's your week been, Jay?
There's so much things that I learned from my previous podcast, and I am, you know, from that podcast itself, I am looking forward to learn more new things from you, especially, you know.
Brilliant.
But yeah, so far the week has been great. It's just the MCO. I'm a bit bummed out about it, but you know what? We just got to keep pushing through, you know?
Yeah, that's the positivity. In any case, let's move on to the news of the week. Longer TikToks coming to all. TikTok has been testing 3-minute video capacity with some creators for a while now, and it has decided that everyone will be getting this new limit. So yay, TikTokers. In the coming weeks, TikTokers will be able to extend their 30-second to 1-minute video capacity to a full feature film length of 3 minutes, because in social media, 3 minutes is a feature film length. This came after much feedback from creators to TikTok that requested for more time to bring cooking demos, elaborate beauty tutorials, educational lesson plans, and comedic sketches to life. Video limit extensions are not always good for everyone. On one side, it helps creators include more information to their content, but there is also an argument that the strict limitations are the bedrock for creativity, and extending video limits will likely take it away. So I think on the second side, this is the traditionalist talking, right? It should be 30 seconds. It should be 1 minute, because they came out with the formula to create a very good 30 seconds and 1 minute version. And now that they're given a 3 minutes one, and they're like, oh my God, what am I going to do with this extra time? So it changes the entire dynamics of what TikTok videos would be. So I think creativity isn't about the length of a video. There are 30-second videos that feel too long, but there are also 3-minute videos that are very interesting and you don't feel the time fly by. So TikTok hopes to be able to bring this flexibility and more depth to the content on its platform. What do you think about this, Jay?
I feel it's a good approach to this. Having that sort of limitation whereby you have only 1 minute to 30 seconds, it's good to actually extend the period of time. So essentially, you can still choose. You can still choose if you want to do 30 seconds, if you want to choose, you want to do 1 minute as well. But now it gives you a little bit more extra leverage to use that time, that extra 3 minutes, you know? So I guess it's an interesting approach. Really looking forward to see what sort of content people are going to create with 3 minutes, you know? It's actually a very long time to think about it.
I think it's going to feel more and more like Reels content now. No, and not Reels, actually. IGTV content. Rather than short form fun type of stuff. But yeah, the thing is, we give TikTok gives them the leeway, and then we'll see what the creators come up with. That is the fun of it, right? That's the magic of it.
Exactly. Okay, so the next one will be Facebook launches built-in beta for podcasters and writers. This is something new. Last week, Zuckerberg announced the company is running the beta version of a newsletter platform, Bulletin, in an audio room. This will be a platform catered towards writers and podcasters. They are testing it with a small number of writers now, and hopefully it will bring it to everyone soon, you know. Bulletin hopes to be a platform where podcasters and writers can charge subscription fees for their content. And ultimately, it will be utilized Facebook, other features like groups and rooms to stay connected with their audience. Pretty much like what Substack and Patreon are doing right now, but more robust in their social ecosystem, I would say. Facebook also started that creators will own their rights to their content and subscriber list, which is the first of the company. But it makes sense, since Facebook don't want to be brought to court for any controversial contents their creators come up with. And it's definitely bound to happen. Even with now, the amount of legal cases they're getting, especially with data-wise, it's already a nuisance for them.
Yep.
Historically, Facebook has promised great support to journalists and writers, which lead to major disappointments. Although Bulletin format is a very different from the ones before, I don't think creators would be too ready to jump into this idea, especially because it's by Facebook. But I still think there is a small percentage that people will be keen on this. Ultimately, what I see what Facebook is doing right now, they're adapting different new things. And I really like that. It's very innovative. Have you thought of this? No, I haven't. Like, Mark Zuckerberg, you're doing a good job.
Yeah, I am on a different side of the fence, though, because you see, Facebook has always wanted to be everything to everyone. So they are the kind of platform that has no specialty, because they believe that adding more features and stealing more features from everyone else will help make them better, make them keep relevant. So I think at this point, they're no longer working on their USP. Rather, they are, kind of like reaching out for whatever that works. But one thing that Facebook, like you said, one thing that Facebook has that Substack and Patreon don't have is that they have a robust social ecosystem, in the sense that you have a subscriber list, and then you can stay within Facebook and be able to connect with your audience through groups. And then you can do live events using audio rooms or video rooms. And, Facebook has one platform for everything within its group of platforms. And that is what Facebook wants. It wants everyone to stay within Facebook and use everything that Facebook has, so they never have to leave Facebook.
Yep.
And traditionally, what happened was Facebook told journalists that, hey, you guys, don't write articles in your own websites. Write it on Facebook. Right? And you write it on Facebook, you put all your content on Facebook, and we from Facebook will make sure that you will get more engagement and reach. Then all the journalists say, okay, fine, it's good. We love this idea. Let's work together. And a few years later, Facebook decides that all their audiences and all their users are not engaging very well. They're losing interest. So they say, okay, let's create more meaningful content. Let's give the users more meaningful content. Then they push all the writers aside. They push all the businesses aside. So they kind of, they kind of screwed the writers over before in the past. So because of that, it doesn't feel as if, I believe in the end of the day, like you said, right, Facebook will be the platform where people will go to because that's where everyone is. But I think they'll be less enthusiastic with this idea than before.
I agree with you on that. Essentially, right now, Facebook seems, from what I see, it reminds me of a supermarket, and there's different aisles, and like they're forcing everything to be in one, shove new products, put it in.
Yes. Wow, buy this from us. Oh, we got this, we got that, we got everything,
And they have sale promos.
They have the Korean section, they got a Japanese section, they got the Western section, they got a Chinese section, everything is there. Instead of you going to a Korean mart to get Korean food, a Japanese mart to get Japanese food, they got everything. So yeah, supermarket. Giant.
Now come to think of it, it's kind of funny though.
Right, next up, Facebook tests threats on posts. We feel that we need to explain the headline a little bit more. So what are threats and, what's a post? Threats are subsequent posts made by a creator for the first post to form a series of, posts. So let's say you create one post and then you want to add on to that thought. Then you add on to that and you create a thread. So let's say if I were to create a post about something, I feel that today is a sunny day. And then you have people who comment who are not me, right? And then I would like to add to that thought, sunny, but the clouds are forming and now it's going to rain. So that becomes a threat. So threats are different from comments in a sense that they get more attention, they get more visibility. So this format has been around for as long as internet forums, all the old blackboards and everything used to be there. And it was introduced to Twitter in 2017 because it makes sense for Twitter because they have a very strict character limit, makes it difficult for creators to express everything in one tweet. So they have to do subsequent tweets, which creates a threat. But Facebook say their use case for threats, although using the same formula or the same format, would be for a different use case scenario. The company anticipates use in live commentaries or an event like an award show. In these formats, audiences will know that the creator of the event is updating their post rather than it being drowned in a comment section and, you know, among all the others. So I'm envisioning, let's say, the Grammys, right? So maybe the MC for the Grammys is talking about something, and whenever he or she makes an announcement, it becomes a threat. And then when everyone else who's watching are commenting, so they are in this little section that nobody wants to see because it's just a mess of everything. So that's what makes it different. It would also allow post creators to update their original post without it being in the comment section or with a header edited to add, because, you know, sometimes they change their mind on something. So now it makes sense why Facebook is rolling this feature out. Facebook is pushing into the live shopping and community engagement world. Live shopping it's a very big thing now since COVID started. Yep. And having threads is one of those useful features that will separate creators' voice from everybody else's. Still, it does feel like Facebook is taking every useful feature from any social platform and putting it on Facebook. Well, yeah, that's the supermarket.
I mean, they all started off with Snapchat, right? Adopting that story platform. Yeah.
Yes.
We're taking away. But for me personally, I feel that they should... I'm really curious how they're going to come up with this and how is the whole platform is going to look like eventually with the threads. And but I just want to see how it goes first. But essentially for me, I would still stick with Twitter with threads. But let's just see what happens. It's kind of interesting. It's a different approach though.
But you see, the thing is, what Twitter doesn't have is, at least they are working on these spaces where we can actually do live audio, kind of things like Clubhouse, but it doesn't have the robust approach like what Facebook has with live video, right? So in that sense, if you want to do a live video with a group of people, and in Malaysia, there are a lot more people on Facebook than there are on Twitter. So if you do a live Facebook, the chances of you hitting more people is a lot higher than on Twitter. So it does make sense for Facebook to bring a very good Twitter feature into Facebook in order to make the platform better. But where I'm concerned is that Facebook is coming a lot more difficult to use right now because you have this and you have that and you have all these kind of small little things. And at the end, you need a big 300-page book, Facebook for Dummies, in order to learn how to use Facebook.
Yes. And they're constantly coming with new things, you know?
Yeah. And it makes sense for us because we evolved with Facebook, right? We started using Facebook and it was a friendster, and then it became, you know, something else. But imagine if someone just let's say, for example, woke up from hibernating in a block of ice for 50 years, right? Like what Captain America did. And he came out into the world today, and then he says, here, this is Facebook, learn how to use it. The guy don't even know how to use a touchscreen.
Correct.
Right? So it's daunting for someone like him.
What is this? Can I throw it? Like a shield, you know?
yeah, throw it.
Okay, the next one would be Instagram announces a major transformation. Instagram CEO Adam Mosseri said the photo sharing platform is evolving into a more than what it started to be. He said Instagram is currently building a new experience in four key areas: creators, video, shopping, and messaging. Okay, this is interesting. The company has been developing in these key areas for a while now. Mosseri, in his short announcement, focused on how recommendation will be driven by videos in the future. He also said that we are no longer a photo sharing app, signaling a shift into videos. Videos are driving more engagement and virality than photos. And it makes sense that Instagram wants more of that, I guess. Recommendation is will focus on videos and more than photos. Brands should take advantage of this change in algorithm if they want to ride with the wave. They got to be first mobile first, so vertical format will work better. I mean, what do you think about this, Sean? Like, I want to hear your thoughts on it.
Okay. Instagram started off as a photo sharing platform, right?
Yep.
You have three 343 grid by infinity, and you share photos with filters and all that. And that version of Instagram is long gone, right? Since then, since Facebook took over, Instagram wanted to be more and more and more and more and more. Mm-hmm. They wanted to improve on their chats, which they're not doing very well. To be honest, of all the chat platforms Facebook has, Instagram chat is the worst, because you can get a notification, and when you go in there, you pull down to refresh, it never comes out. You have to kill the app, restart the app, and then the chat comes out. But that's it. A lot of people are already using Instagram as a primary chat platform, so it needs to be better than it is. Shopping is something that Instagram has always wanted to be, and I feel that it's an evolution. Like, you see a photo of a product, you look at it, and instead of going out to Google to look for that product, you can click a button and you immediately can actually buy the stuff, right?
Yep.
So that is what Instagram is working towards, and that makes sense to me. Moving into videos is something, I guess it's because of TikTok. And they find that because of Instagram Reels and because of, I don't think IGTV is doing very well. I think IGTV is quite a flop, but I think Reels is doing very well. And they see a lot of engagement, and they are reacting to engagement. They say, okay, you know, Instagram is no longer a photo sharing app. There's a lot of entertainment going on in Reels, and we want to be more in the video realm. And specifically, we want to be in the mobile first, which is the tall ones, type that you're seeing now, dear viewers. It's the tall ones that you would usually see in TikTok on a reel.
Scroll up, just like this.
Yeah. Like this. So that matters, because as brands, we need to create content that are essentially more videos now rather than images, especially when we are on Instagram. Because when Adam Mosseri says that they are focusing on videos, that means the algorithm is pushing more videos, right? The recommendation or the explore section will talk about more videos. So because of that, if you are still posting photos, then you're kind of losing out on the engagement wave that they're pushing for. Yeah. So that's what I think about this line. You know, at the end of the day, it is about, there is a transformation going, the app is maturing, and as businesses, as brands, we need to follow suit. No?
Well, you know what they say, a picture says 1,000 words. Just imagine what a video can do. Yeah, essentially, even for me, personally, I'm a hardcore Instagram user, but I would say for me, I don't really use Instagram Reels. I haven't explored in it yet. I mainly focus on photos. I'm looking forward for this whole transformation. It's just that it's going to be a whole new shift to it. Instead of focusing on a photo-centric platform, it's now going to be more emphasized on videos. So, I guess we can just hope for the best for now. Hopefully this turns out well, you know?
Yeah.
So not like IGTV.
Not like IGTV, yeah. Yeah. Yes. So, yeah, I guess this is what's going to be. And I do believe that because of this, I have a very, very sneaky suspicion that Facebook is taking away that grid, the 3x infinity grid.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably going to give us a TikTok type of explore section.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Version, yeah. A TikTok version where you can actually keep scrolling your own stuff. Or they won't give the square grid. They might give the tall grid, the one like Snapchat does with the discovery section. So there would be some form of changes coming to TikTok. Coming to Instagram. That's for sure. All right, folks, that's all for this week's Social Media Weekly. Social Media Weekly podcast is available on Anchor FM, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Our full videos are available on YouTube, and we post bits and clips on Instagram and Facebook. If you like Social Media Weekly, it would really help if you could rate and review it on a podcast video of your choice and on YouTube, so more can discover it. Social Media Weekly is still on the lookout for a regular co-host to help us bring more depth to the show. If you're interested, simply drop me an email at Sean, that is S-H-A-W-N, @virtualpeddlers.com. This is Social Media Weekly, episode 7 July 2021. My name is Sean.
My name is Jay. Hope to see you guys soon.
Yes, we'll see you next week. Stay safe. Au revoir.
You too. Take care.